times when I'm sitting down here, I sit down well before it's time to begin, and I don't see how many people have come in. So when I stand up and get ready to deliver the lesson, sometimes I shouldn't say shocked, but I'm impressed. That would be a better word. I'm impressed with the number of people that are here. So my thanks to you for attending today. Very, very much appreciate your desire to assemble for a time of worship and praise. So thank you for your attendance today. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning for the, if you'd like to follow along. I asked my brethren to look around, and if there is someone that did not receive one, please share. That's, you know, if you would like to follow along. The lesson is titled, Five Fleas in the Bible. And so, just going to kind of recognize by way of introduction, you know, in life we recognize a time to stand and fight. I'm not going to run from this at all. I'm hanging in there. I'm tough. But we also recognize the phrase, run for your life, brother. Run. I put in your notes, there's sometimes a phrase we use in life, discretion is the better part of valor. You know, valor says, you know, wield the sword or be tough. But discretion means run for your life. We sometimes say you can't argue with a skunk. Means run for your life. I'm not going to stand and fight a skunk. Get stinky. I'm running. So in life, sometimes there's a clear and present danger. We need to run. Need to run. Need to evacuate. Emergency situations. Get out of there. Run to a safe place. So in the New Testament, I've listed in your notes today or this morning, there are five times that word is used in which we need to run from. But also at the same time, it gives us a direction in which to run to. Run toward. So number one, in 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, it says, flee youthful lusts. It's the whole verse. So Paul is saying to this young evangelist, this young minister, Timothy, you need to run. He's warning him about youthful lusts. Saying, Timothy, instead of trying to stand and fight these certain temptations, and he's listed them in the text for Timothy, saying, Timothy, sometimes the best offense or even the best defense is to flight, run away. You know, these are some things as a young man you need to flee from. Get out of there. The specific things that he's to run from are in the text I mentioned. I put these in your notes. These are probably things that would devour this young man's faith. He probably has a lot of gusto in life, and he's saying, nothing's going to hurt me. I can withstand any temptation. There's not a struggle that I'm going to run away from. And Paul says, Timothy, in verse 14, strive not about words to no profit. Some conversations as a young minister, Timothy, don't get involved in. It'll take away from your faith. Verse 16, shun profane and vain babblings. Certain topics, certain conversations. Timothy, avoid those. Stay with the book. He'll preach the word. He mentions in verse 23, avoid foolish questions. I don't know what foolish questions are, but I probably would know them when I saw them. Stay away from those kinds of things. They'll destroy your faith. In verse 24, he mentions the servant of the Lord must not strive or be quarrelsome. Timothy, if you involve yourself in these things as a young man, I know if you have this lust for life and you don't want to, you want to do it all. Oh, Timothy, beware. There's certain things that may take you away from your faith. You may not be as strong as you think you are, Timothy. So Paul warns him, flee these things. You ever heard the phrase, fools rush in where angels fear to tread? Sometimes that may be what we want to do. I'm rushing in. Oh, angels wouldn't even do that, Brian. Certain topics. Certain questions. But And then he tells him, Timothy, run this direction. Doesn't just say, just run away. Go here. Follow or pursue righteousness, faith, charity, peace. And then he adds, with them. Timothy, you're not in this by yourself. You follow these things with them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. Timothy, if you want to remain faithful, you stay with people who are grounded in truth. You stay with people who are strong in faith because you're a young minister. So don't follow after these things that would destroy you. Run from that and run over here. Run to people that will help you and support you. Number two, it's in our text that was read to us this morning. Flee from the love of money and from coveting after treasure. It says, flee these things in verse 11. Flee these things. And he mentions even in the text, why? Because he talks about the danger that's involved in the pursuit of treasure. That's a number one goal. He says, they that be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown the men in destruction and perdition. In verse 10, when you covet after these things, it says they've erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The problem is not the treasure. I have treasure. Everyone here does. Varying degrees, but all of us have treasure. But Timothy says, here's a warning. I want you to run from the love of money. I want you to run from coveting it. When treasure becomes our primary focus, when treasure takes us away from faith, when treasure becomes our lust, then treasure leads us to destruction. And so Paul says, Timothy, run away from an attitude of treasure that will destroy your faith. Jesus warned the same thing in Luke 12, verse 13. It says, take heed and beware of all covetousness. And then he gives a reason. Because a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Wow. My life is more than that 2004 Malibu I own. My life is more than the abundance of things that I possess. That's what Paul is telling Timothy. So the direction in which he's to run, those who have treasure, he says, charge them that are rich. He says, in your riches, in our treasure, he says, don't be high-minded. Don't be high-minded. Don't be proud. Don't be haughty or arrogant. The next thing he says about your treasures, he says, don't trust in uncertain riches. And they are uncertain. They come and they go. Sure do. And next he says, you think about God who gives us richly. You see, God has given you and me the talent, the ability, the opportunity to gain treasure. So when we have treasure, even in abundance, thank God. Thank God for that. The next thing he says is to enjoy. And we do that. We enjoy our treasure. We're happy. Well, hopefully we can be happy with what we've been blessed with that talent, that opportunity. And we've accumulated. And we're going to enjoy that. We're going to make purchases that will help us in our living. Enjoy. Be glad that you have the fruit of your labor. The things that God's provided for you. Enjoy. Enjoy that. And then he adds, but don't forget to look out to others. He says, do good. With your treasure, be rich in good works. Be ready to distribute. Be willing to share. So the attitude that we have when we've accumulated abundant blessings is not to hoard what we've been blessed with. Don't be a miser. Look around at others who are perhaps less fortunate. Contribute to good works. Be benevolent. So he says that charge. There's a danger when God's blessed us in abundance. But don't let that take you away from faith. Run away from a love and a coveting of treasure. Number three. Flee something else. He says in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 14. My beloved, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Idolatry. You probably think, oh, I'm okay with that one. Brian, you can just pass over this one. But in 1 John 5, verse 21, he says, my little children, keep yourselves from idols. We do that, I guess. So here's some things not to idolize, and I've listed them for you in your notes. Things not to idolize. Obviously, the first ones are idols. Just an image. In Exodus 20, beginning of verse 3, the commandments that God gave through Moses to the Israelites. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. God is simply saying that when you run from idols, run from those images that you're going to bow down to and serve. Run away from that. Second, don't worship or idolize Satan. It's on the news this morning. I should have written, in my notes. In Detroit, this morning, they made a group of people made an image of Satan. Huge, what they think Satan looks like. Looked like a sand or a bronze kind of image, probably a little taller than a person. It had horns, it looked like a face of a dragon and arms to the side. It just looked like an image. And then the people in the audience that were there when the curtain opened, they were dressed up like almost like it was Halloween. They had on devil costumes. Don't idolize Satan. A man named Anton LaVey, back in 1972 in San Francisco, opened up the first Church of Satan. Church of Satan. And he had a following. So the Bible is saying, Paul tells the people in Corinth, it's almost a capital city of idolatry, of images. Tells the brethren there to flee idolatry. Flee. Flee, don't worship apostles or people. Don't idolize them. In Acts chapter 10, verse 25, here's Peter meeting Cornelius. And God had sent Peter to Cornelius, and God told Cornelius, Peter's coming to him. So then as the Bible says in Acts 10, 25, as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up. I myself also am a man. Don't worship Peter. In Acts 14, we have Paul, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. In Acts 14, verse 11, it begins, when the people saw what Paul had done. What'd you do, Paul? He just healed a crippled man. Mighty work. Miracle. So when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. Wow. They called Barnabas Jupiter. They called Paul Mercury because he was the chief speaker. And then it says the priest of Jupiter, the local priest of the temple, brought oxen and garlands under the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people to Paul and Barnabas. But when the apostles, Paul and Barnabas, heard thereof, they rent their clothes, they tore their clothes, ran in among the people and cried out and said, sirs, why do you do these things? We also are men of like passions with you. We preach unto you that ye should turn from these vain vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and the earth and the sea and the things therein. Paul even tells them, no, you turn from the idols. Don't even worship me or apostles or mankind. You turn from that, flee from it, and turn to or toward the living God. Don't worship angels or idolize angels. Revelation 22, verse 8. I, John, saw these things. The revelation of Jesus to the angel, to John, to the churches, kind of a chain of command. So when John's receiving this revelation, he says, I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Wow. Anything wrong with that? Worshiping an angelic being? Then he said, the angel said to John, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. We want to flee idolatry, the worship of anything or any man or a graven image or bowing down this to a different object. Then we worship God. We worship God. Number four, flee immorality. Flee immorality. Put in your notes just some reasons why we want to flee immorality. First of all, just out of respect for God's word. That's the first thing. Because God said it. He said it not only in the text in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, but also in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 7. God has not called us to uncleanness, but to holiness. Here's that image again. Run from this and run toward that. Flee uncleanness. Run to holiness. So out of respect for God's law. Second, out of respect for God's claim on our body. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, don't you know, the Bible says, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you? Don't you know that? Which ye have from God, and ye are not your own. Oh, you mean I can't just live any way that I want to? I can't just have it my own way? I mean, I can't just do my own thing? No. We're not our own. We're bought by God. It continues, you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So out of respect for God's claim on our body. Number three, I put out of self-respect. Out of self-respect. You see, immorality affects my soul. It's sin. Immorality affects my conscience because it brings guilt and self-condemnation. What did I just do? You may even say to yourself, boy, did I mess that up? That's right. Affects my conscience. Immorality affects your happiness because now you're going to worry about the outcome. You might have even fear of detection. Immorality may affect your physical health. There's a possibility of STD, or sexually transmitted disease. That'll affect you. Affect your partner. Affect children that will be born. Reasons to run from immorality. Out of respect, self-respect. Just take it to heart, to yourself. But it'll affect your emotional health. Or you will feel guilt or anxiety. You may literally worry yourself sick. It'll affect your future because you're going to may lose the opportunity for a happy marriage. Immorality affects your future because it may ruin your reputation. Not only in just upcoming months, but years. So we flee immorality out of self-respect. I put also in your notes out of respect for the other person. So the things that we say about ourselves, let's say about them. What about their future? What about the other person's health? What about the other person's self-respect? So now when we run from immorality because out of our consideration for another, out of respect for our parents, we want to honor their desire for purity in our life. You're not tempted to live an immoral life. You might want to say, Mom and Dad wouldn't want me to do this. Just thoughts of home. Thoughts of the way that we were brought up. Perhaps would be a strong motivation for us to live correctly. But also out of respect for our nation. In Proverbs 14, verse 34, says, righteousness exalts a nation. Sin's a reproach to any people. So now we take it away from ourselves. We got to think about the other person, future generations, and now a nation of people. That's why we want to live a decent life. Also, it's a work of the flesh in Galatians 5:19. So we need to flee immorality and run toward right living. I've never met a person who regretted being decent or living the right kind of life. So flee immorality. The last one I have listed for you, number 5 in Matthew 3, verse 7, John the Baptist. He had an audience and he says, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Now we're not only looking at in immediate time, but we're looking toward eternity. The wrath to come, the wrath of God. When you think about plans that we make in life, we had tried to anticipate impending disasters. And so we put precautions in place. We have our relief organizations, our warning systems. We have emergency lights in our auditorium. We have 911. Mortuaries, you'll sell pre-need packages. Before you need it, put this in place. We have our insurance policies. We buy warranties on our purchases. All in anticipation of an impending disaster or in case something happens. Well, now then, biblically, on the spiritual side of life, there's something that we need to run from, a disaster, and it's an eternal disaster. It comes at the end. And so the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9, God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So I've listed 5 things in the Bible. At least the King James Version uses the word flee. Things we are to run from. To the young minister, Paul told Timothy, flee youthful lusts. Those conversations that will destroy your faith or create doubt in your faith. Flee from the love of treasure or coveting it. That undue lust for. Flee from idolatry. Bowing down to something and serving something other than God in worship. For the flee immorality. Flee the wrath to come. And the direction that we go to do that is toward God and His Son, Jesus. It's the message we give at the close of every lesson. If you're not a member of the New Testament church, if you're not a Christian, we give you the same answer, Bible answer that Peter gave to his audience on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when that first gospel sermon was preached. He preached to an audience of devout Jews from every nation in Acts chapter 2. Peter with the other apostles have received power from above. And he preaches a point in his lesson that they crucified the Christ, they murdered the Messiah. And he says in his lesson in verse 37 of Acts chapter 2, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. It says when they heard that, they were cut to the heart. In other words, they believed. They were convinced. What have we done? Is there any way out of this? I want to flee the wrath to come. The Bible says in verse 38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and to receive the gift of God's Spirit. He told them, to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are far off, succeeding generations, even to us 2,000 years later. The promise is given to us. With many other words, he testified. He exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation. They're going the wrong way. You need to turn toward God and his Son, Jesus. Verse 41 says, and those that gladly received his word were baptized. In verse 47, it says, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And that's our message. It's a message of salvation. Not only does the Bible tell us what to run from, it tells us what to run to. God and his Son. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. There's one here this morning who's not a member of the New Testament church. You have not been baptized for remission of sins. We can accomplish that this morning. Whosoever will may come. Let's stand together and sing the song that Dennis has selected for us. If that's your resolve, if that's your desire, while we're singing this song, just simply come and have a seat beside me and let that desire, that request be known.